welcome once again to the E-Bone Zone, as I invite you to sit back, relax, and listen for the 380th time on this Friday, March 15th, 2024. I hope you'll enjoy this week's episode, Bachelor's Paradise. As most of us know, 2024 is a leap year, and as most of us might not know, Leap Day was a few weeks ago, February 29th. And here's how that works. Nearly every 4 years, February gets an extra day. Where it usually has 28 days, on leap years, there are 29. And on this year, a girlfriend wanted to make it special for her other half. Her name is Carly, and she's dating Brad. They live in Australia, and on a popular morning radio show from the station 101.9 The Fox, she proposed to him. Now, some people might be a little bit thrown off by the woman proposing, though it can and does happen, especially on February 29th. Now, see, what's unique about February 29th is that in Irish tradition, it's not only a leap day, but also Bachelor's Day. And that day is when it's common that men have the tables turned on them and are proposed to by their women. More information on that is in the description, though. But the thing I'm most shocked about is that he wasn't sure what to respond with other than, I don't know. And you'll be in the same boat as me, especially after you consider what was said. Carly said, "It's been the most incredible 5 years of my life with you. You make me feel like nothing else I've ever felt before. You are my north, my south, my east, my west, my working week, and my Sunday rest. I have loved growing with you and learning about you. I love the person you are, and the person I am is totally because of you. I can't wait to do this forever. Will you marry me?" Sweet, right? Well, this man is rightly stunned, as most people are when proposed to, because I don't think you're really supposed to be expecting it when it happens. And then get this, he begs her to be joking live on the air, and then he turns her down. He said that proposing to someone isn't traditionally something you do on the radio, and I agree, but this is different. This is a different set of circumstances. It was Bachelor's Day, ladies' choice, so he doesn't get to say. And plus, she loves you enough to propose, and I think that's kind of cool. I would also argue there's a lot more places, a whole lot less appropriate to do that sort of thing than on the radio, like someone else's wedding or, I don't know, your great-uncle Jack's funeral. And plus, that was a beautiful proposal. All my guys listening, do me a favor and comment on Facebook. What would your reaction be if your girlfriend, even if she wasn't proposing, said something to you like that? I'd melt. Call me soft if you want, but I'm just being honest. The call was ended very quickly by the hosts after that exchange, and everyone in the studio probably tried to become one with their chairs to avoid the awkwardness of the situation. I know I would. That's gotta sting. This week, I would like to continue a tradition that I hold very close to my heart. I try and offer a good Christian podcast, so I thought I would begin sharing a new Bible verse each week. This week, I would like to share a verse from the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." Now let's go ahead and break this down. The Lord is near to all that call upon Him. What is He near to us to do? Well, He's near to support us. He is near to be with us. He is near to love us. He is near to answer our prayers, supposing that we call on Him, as the verse says, in truth, or with an upright heart, in good standing, when we ask those things that are in accordance to the Word of God, in accordance to His will for our lives, because we know that if we're operating in our strength, if we're operating in what we want instead of God's plan for our lives, that can lead us astray. That is not the best plan. We need to operate, we need to ask for whatever God wants in our lives. We need to ask for His will. We need to ask for His purpose to come to pass. And after we ask for what we need, after we ask for what His will is in our lives, after we ask for Him to give us what He wants us to have, we need to just trust that He has it. We don't need to wring our hands over it and worry. We don't need to constantly obsess over it all the time. Now, if I'm being quite honest, if it's in my life, it's a lot easier said than done. I can pray for something that I really want to come to pass in my life, and then I'll think, okay, God has this. I need to just sit back and rest and wait. That's the spiritual side of me talking. The spiritual side of me knows. But the human side of me says, I want what I want, and I want it now. I have to go looking for it. And you think about it, that can leave you in more trouble than it's worth. That can leave you tired. That can leave you sad. That can leave you exhausted. That can sometimes even leave you depressed. That can leave you in places that you don't want to be. But if you trust God with your request, if you trust God to make His plan work out for your life in His time, because He's the one that brought you here. He's the one that brought you this far. And I need to remind you that He is God and you're not. He's God and I'm not. So what I don't understand is when we say we're going to give something to God, we pray, we give it over to God in spirit and in truth. And then after a few days of not seeing any results, after a few weeks of not seeing any results, we just give up like, oh, well, God's not going to fix it. It's not quick enough. I'm going to try and figure it out on my own. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm guilty of doing that myself. That's something we all need to work on. If we give it to God, we need to just trust that He has it. We need to just give it to Him truly and honestly in spirit and in truth and not have our hands on it. I know that's a lot easier said than done because as humans, we want what we want and we want it now. But God works different than that. He knows what we need and when we need it. Sometimes the internet can be a pretty cool place. Other times, well, not so much. And that's why I've taken it upon myself to dive back into the depths of Twitter to see which side of the coin we're presented with this week. This week's hashtag is After Autocorrect Attacks. The first response, After Autocorrect Attacks, I get very hungry and need to take a walk. Well, there's several ways to the same goal here. Some go to a restaurant, and some do what this person did and steal somebody else's cooking while they're cooking. That's cold, but I'll admit it's resourceful. The next response, after autocorrect attacks, things may get confusing. Oh, you have no idea. How in the world am I supposed to know who Charles Duckins is? The next response, after autocorrect attacks, I get angry with my phone. Yeah, me too. How is it supposed to know? After all, maybe the word you were looking for is the wrong one. The next response, after autocorrect attacks, it shows that no matter how good at spelling I am, there's always that one word. Always. You know, this seems like a pretty good opportunity for an open-ended discussion. What's your word? Leave it in the comments section on Facebook if you'd like. And the last response, after autocorrect attacks, I learned shelf defense. So shelves are attacking us now. Oh my goodness, that can't be good. Let's just hope the books they throw at us are soft. And speaking of that, why are they attacking us at all? I mean, if anything, they owe us a debt of gratitude. We literally build them and give them life, so you'd think they'd be more grateful. There have been several Guinness records discussed on the podcast, but never one like this. A dog has been stripped of his title after being declared the world's oldest dog. The dog's name was Bobby, and he was reported to be 30 years and 268 days old. What's interesting, though, is that Guinness World Records launched an investigation into the dog's real age because some people have started to doubt it. One of the reasons why is the pictures. The record book skimming faithful have questioned why the photos show Bobby with white paws when they were brown later in his life. The owner said that he was born in 1992, which is cool, except for the fact that Guinness says the title could go to Spike, a dog that's still living in Ohio, who took the title at 23 years old before Bobby took it over. His owner, Rita, provided Guinness World Records with vet records and bills that placed his date of birth in 1999, as well as photos of him through the years. She said that she hadn't had him since he was a puppy, and she found him in 2009 in a parking lot. He would have been the oldest living dog if Guinness wasn't unsure of his age as well. Now, you might be a little bit confused here because Bobby was also in consideration for being the world's oldest dog, and 30 is older than 23, so wouldn't Bobby take the crown? No, not exactly. He passed away at the age of 31. They say they need another confirmation from the vet to make sure that he's the oldest one, and they say that their records from now on are going to require a second opinion. In the end, I believe that all dogs, old, young, small, large, they're all good boys, and they all deserve belly rubs. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I'm really glad you could make it, and I hope you enjoyed the festivities. If you want to stay connected to the show, I'd invite you to pop on over to Facebook or Twitter and give the page a follow. Just search eBoneZone on Facebook and Official EBZ on Twitter. And if you want more from the podcast, visit the website, www.ebonezone.com. If you're new, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next week, my friend, God bless you, stay humble, and remember, keep an ear out.